The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Well, now we're going inside Hollywood with Dee Reddy, podcaster and cultural commentator. Dee, good morning.
Good morning, Pat.
Now, the small screen used to be the inferior sibling of the big screen. That has changed.
It really has. I think it's very much a 20th century idea, the thought of the small screen being a lesser than or somewhere people went at the tail end of their career when they weren't doing as well. There's a lot of reasons for that. The budget wasn't as big. I guess it didn't really have a centralised location the way Hollywood did as well, because you had, in the States anyway, the East Coast and Pacific Coast.
Sure, and your stuff from London as well, from the BBC,
and you had more localised programming as well. But I kind of, really with HBO in the very, very late 90s, you had them release a couple of shows that really changed the game and sort of brought about the 21st century era of prestige television. And I think the greatest example of that is Seth Rogen's new comedy, The Studio, which is a TV show about Hollywood.
I'm watching it. It's very good.
It's super. But the unbelievable cameos that he gets and the budget is phenomenal. So that's kind of a great expression of prestige TV. But I wanted to flip it and go, gosh, I wonder how Hollywood looks at TV. And it's funny, as I was going through it, they kind of almost, you know, has a tradition of showing it as being, you know, full of mendacious people, mindless, corrupt, bringing about, the degradation of American ideology, as if they weren't doing it themselves, you know?
Now, the first one you've chosen is from 1976, and it's Network. Brilliant movie.
Stunning movie. We've got a clip from this actually that I think kind of is a good intro to it, because you have one of the key characters, Howard Beale, giving an unbelievable rant.
Take two, cue Howard.
I don't have to tell you things are bad. Everybody knows things are bad. It's a depression. Everybody's out of work or scared of losing their job. The dollar buys a nickel's worth. Banks are going bust. Shopkeepers keep a gun under the counter. Punks are running wild in the street, and there's nobody anywhere who seems to know what to do, and there's no end to it. We know the air is unfit to breathe, and our food is unfit to eat. We sit watching our TVs while some local newscaster tells us that today we had 15 homicides and 63 violent crimes, as if that's the way it's supposed to be. We know things are bad, worse than bad. They're crazy. It's like everything everywhere is going crazy, so we don't go out anymore. We sit in the house, and slowly the world we're living in is getting smaller, and all we say is, please, at least leave us alone in our living rooms. Let me have my toaster and my TV and my steel-belted radios, and I won't say anything. Just leave us alone. Well, I'm not going to leave you alone. I want you to get mad.
Hard to believe that something written in 1976 could still hold so much weight today, but it really, really does. Howard Beale there is what is referred to in the movie as the mad prophet of the airways. He's played brilliantly by Peter Finch. But the story is really about Diana Christensen, who's played by Faye Dunaway. And she's this ratings hungry programming executive who's basically prepared to do anything to get better numbers. And Beale kind of ends up having a breakdown on air, threatens to commit suicide live on air, and becomes this sort of sensation in America and this huge celebrity that, of course, the network executives are very keen to make the most of. It was a big deal in 1976 when it came out. It was nominated for 10 Oscars, and I think it won 4 for Finch, Dunaway, Beatrice Straight for the shortest performance ever to win an Oscar, and then Chayefsky as well. Mm.
Now, I want to talk about another news program. This is broadcast news. Set the scene for me here.
This is one of my favourite kind of films of all time, not mind ones about TV. And it's made by a guy called James, most people will know him, James L. Brooks. He's synonymous with some great television himself. But he's also written some really and directed some brilliant films, Broadcast News being one of them. And it's Holly Hunter kind of in her breakout role. She plays this really, really driven, feisty television producer. And she's kind of torn in a love triangle between this very handsome but dim and ambitious anchorman, played by William Hurt, and then her sort of cynical pal, Albert Brooks, who's her closest confidant. And Jack Nicholson also appears in it in an unbilled role as the kind of station's lead anchorman.
Now, the William Hurt character is so dim, really he can't think for himself. Let's have a listen to a clip.
A view not shared by other nations, including the U.S. After a brief dogfight, both Libyan jets were downed by the American fighters.
The name is Nathan Benchley.
Nathan Benchley is at the Pentagon. So,
that's great.
Commander,
that's
it must have been a bit tougher today, shooting down the MiG-21. The one you got was an Su-22.
What's it like at the moment of confrontation?
What's it like to be in a real dogfight?
Okay, after this guy, we'll go for a wrap-up. You'll have about 10 seconds. Ask him, how does he know when he has a hit?
Do you know you have a hit from one of those screens inside your cockpit, or can you actually see your missile strike the other plane with your eye?
That's good.
The equipment is very sophisticated, but from a pilot's point of view, you like to see it to confirm it.
Thank you, Commander. It has always been considered an outlaw nation. But strangely, some of those who have interviewed Gaddafi find him, in a phrase we like to use in this country, very presidential.
Nice, Jay.
New copy, Jane Craig, just a minute. Then we're going to go to Martin Klein at State for the message from Libya. Then you're going to have the carrier pilot from the Sidra in time to... What? No! You missed him! We only have 10 minutes left. How can you talk to me about parking problems?
Bloody love Holly Hunter. And she's so, so good in this role. The energy that she brings to it. There's another scene in it that I would have loved to use the clip, but it's so visual, where she decides 52 seconds out from a news broadcast that she wants to re-edit a report that one of the reporters has done. And this is in the days of tape as well. So it's this absolutely fantastic sequence that is the exact amount of time that they have left.
Now, I want to go on to The Truman Show, because it, more than most movies made about the small screen, this is so prescient.
It really, really is. So this is from 1998. And bearing in mind, in 1998, this was before Big Brother. It was before the dawn of reality TV. That was kind of just a notion of, would people ever do that? It was almost Black Mirror-esque at the time. And the story centres around this small suburban town called Sea Haven, and this guy Truman, who's got a very, very generic, bland life. And what he doesn't know, and he's the only person who doesn't know this, is that since birth he's actually navigated a world that's been entirely manufactured by this guy Christoph, who is the creator of this show and basically adopted Truman as a baby. So basically everything that you see, that he sees around him, fulfills the kind of mandate of meeting what TV audiences want to see. And what's brilliant about this film, I think, is it doesn't just interrogate the TV executives that are making this. It flips it back on the audience in such a brilliant way to kind of show, as the cruelty is ever so slowly ramped up across Truman's life to keep him there and to stop him from questioning, people just go, yeah, we'll keep watching. Let's bet money on it.
Yeah, because they are exploiting this poor
Truman. Oh, I mean, undoubtedly.
We have a clip.
Honey, are you okay?
Get in.
Truman?
Look.
What?
I predict that in just a moment, we will see a lady on a red bike, followed by a man with flowers, and a Volkswagen Beetle with a dented fender.
Truman, please.
Look. Lady. Flowers. And
Truman, this is silly.
There it is! There it is! There's the dented Beetle! Yes! Woo! Don't you want to know how I did that? I'll tell you. They're on a loop. They go around the block. They come back. They go around again. They just go around and round. Round and round.
You know, I invited Rita and Marlon for a barbecue on Sunday. I'm going to make my potato salad, and I need you to remind me that we need more charcoal.
Are you listening to a word I'm saying?
It's spooky, that.
It's so spooky. And it's especially because it's coming from a point in time just on the cusp of before voyeurism becoming a form of mass media, essentially.
So before the Jerry Springer Show, before Big Brother, before Survivor, before any of that. One final one. We don't have a clip, but you want to mention it. The King of Comedy.
Yeah, this came up as a recommendation for me when I was watching Broadcast News. Couldn't believe I hadn't seen it. It's a Scorsese film starring Robert De Niro after Taxi Driver. It was 1982. Absolutely panned at the time. Didn't perform well with audiences or critics, but it is brilliant. He basically, De Niro plays this struggling stand-up comedian who kidnaps a talk show host in order to get a spot, a late night segment on his show doing stand-up, because he thinks that's what's going to launch his career. It's the talk show host is actually played by Jerry Springer, but they did approach Johnny Carson for the role originally. And while he was interested, he didn't want to do it because of the assassination attempt that had happened after Taxi Driver on Ronald Reagan. And Johnny Carson was like, whoa, why tempt fate on life imitating art with the same director and the same actor? I'll pass on this one.
Now, he is a stand-up comedian who imagines that he's going to be a wow, and then we see his stand-up.
It's a bit of a dud, and that's kind of, well, but it's not a complete dud. I think that's kind of the brilliance of it. It's mediocre. And everything that, you know, you can see in a different world with the right amount of luck and connections, he probably could make it for a while. So it's not awful, but there's no way he's going to make it given what he's revealed about himself by kidnapping your man.
A great movie. And De Niro, as always, did a lot of homework.
He did. He actually went around to stand-up comedy gigs and performed himself. But that was in the film, he performs, he sets up cardboard cutouts of Liza Minnelli and Michael Jackson and other celebrities in his basement to pretend he's on a talk show. Really, really creepy. Arguably more creepy than Travis Bickle in Taxi Driver. Brilliant film, though.
King of Comedy, highly recommended. Dee Reddy, podcaster and cultural commentator. Thank you very much.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.